Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after ye have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I think we stopped at verse 27 yesterday, didn't we?
Yes.
Huh? What was the last Romans we studied? Do you have the notes?
We studied Revelation.
No, what was the last in Luke that we studied? I'm sorry.
Luke 27. Luke
14. 27. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we have the. Well, then we start with, excuse me, intending to build a tower. Intending is just a word that means to be resolved or to want. But build is an interesting word. It's the first part of it is oiko, or the house or the temple, and then domio, which means to erect. But it's also translated as edify mostly in the scriptures. So it has something. I mean, it has to mean more than it appears to mean, because it doesn't make any sense. And from the previous verse, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on and says this example: for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? So this, because of the word build here, okidomio, it means to edify. And edify means what?
Well, we talked about it meaning to build a bride or to help spiritually a bride.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it meant, well.
So let's look at that, some of those first. Let's look at Romans 14. Because this is another look at what sanctification means, or the renewal of your mind. But that's why it's so critical at the beginning to tell people that it's not something that you're going to gain from. It's those three rebuffs we've talked about. The first rebuff was, don't you know, if somebody comes and wants to be a part, he said, don't you know, you will lose everything you once held dear. Here's some scriptures, go away and think about it. And second, the rebuff. Don't you know that you'll be hated of all men and they'll call you demon-possessed? Here's some scriptures, go away and think about it. Come back the third time, he says, don't you know, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. If they says yes, then he's embraced. Because the cost is everything. And so if you aren't willing at the beginning, then you're going to be like this guy that was intending to build a tower but didn't finish it. So let's look at edify. I said Romans what? 14.
Verse
start in verse 9. Well, actually, we have to start in verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give the account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy food, how walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy food for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So, in other words, your role here, our role, is to only be concerned with that which edifies. Edify meaning the same thing that this guy, to build a tower.
Yeah.
All right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Well, this is about this mystery of tongues. And so let's start in verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spirituals. The gifts isn't there. Desire spirituals. But rather that you may prophesy. Now, in the Greek, it's much more, much stronger that, you know, above all, I would that you prophesy. Now, remember, prophesying, there is no more prophecy in the Old Testament meant to foretell. Prophecy in the New Testament means foretell. Two different concepts. To foretell and then to foretell. What do we foretell? We foretell that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God abideth forever. That is universally the basis of foretelling, the vanity and emptiness of human endeavors. And that is the way you edify, as we'll see in a minute. Because if we're only concerned with the manifestation of the bride, then edification has to be the manifestation of that exhortation. Everybody understand? It's not about you, it's about us, but not us, us universally. All right. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking tongues, or with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophecy, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I knew not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Any questions? And here the mystery is, because it's the same word, to the building up of the tower. All right, everybody understands perfectly. Ephesians 4. Starting verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, but the word some isn't, isn't in the Bible. It says he gave apostles. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You've heard me talk about that verse before, because that is the process of the beginning of a body. There first has to be a dying seed, and that's the apostle. Then because you believe, you speak. Because you speak, some will follow. So you'll be, that's the work of a evangelist. And some pastors and teachers. Because when that happens, when there's a people around, then there has to be teaching and caring. Now, I'm not saying there aren't those five different people also in the body, but it fundamentally means, because of the way it is in Greek, that there first has to be this dying seed, and then because you believe, you will speak, therefore you're a prophet. Because you're a prophet, so some hear, then you're evangelists. When they hear and come, then you have to be pastor teacher. So that's, do you understand that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there aren't five other, I mean that there aren't different ones sometimes, but this has to be the beginning. You know, the only Bible school in the scriptures is a school for Pharisees. And in the first the first century, they went through the 3-year cycle to show how Christ was the fulfillment of everything. And then some after that first 3-year cycle went out and started other groups. And that's the way it multiplied very rapidly. Anyway, we're not done yet. And that happened in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, that's what's intended. Now, the next few verses are coming against us, for it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love is the alternative. And that's the preaching of the cross, is speaking the truth in love. But it's all about this building the tower, edifying. Everything must be about that. What? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. Start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing or high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down all activity on those 7 high places, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down imaginations. There's no thought that you can have that can stand against it is finished. There's no thought that you can have that can stand against you've been perfected forever. There's no thought that there's no accusation that can come against you. But that's all your mind does. It tells you you don't have enough. It tells you you're naked. It tells you something is wrong. That is the opposite of edification. It's impossible for your mind to edify. Because everything about the mind is the opposite of edification. The opposite of edification is self-seeking. You understand that? All right, where's Gary when we need him? Okay, now we're going to look more at most of these things that are hindrances to building a tower, or building the temple, or edifying the mystery. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse notes are covering up my Bible. Oh, chapter 1. Stop being in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither are you yet now, able. For you are yet carnal, for as where there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? What is carnal? What does that mean? Carnal means of the flesh, of the hunk of meat. So what part of you is a hunk of meat? Everything. That's why baptism is your burial and the burial of your mind. Now, the default position is always to use your mind. That's why you must bring every thought into captivity through the obedience of Christ. You can't do that if you don't want to, and you can't do that if you're not honest. Every thought has to stand against the test of truth. If it changes with time, place, or circumstance, it's not worthy of giving importance to. Does that penetrate at any level? You know anything? What doesn't change with time, place, or circumstance? But the finished work of Christ doesn't do you or people any good unless it's manifested in them. The only way that can happen is the mind of Christ. The only thing the mind of Christ does is empty to the point of a vacuum.
So we're either a disciple or a rebel.
There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. I promise you, you won't be able to build that tower that's in this parable we're studying. And carnality is your basis of living. If you're walking as other men or women. All right, let's go to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, our only hope. Grace unto to Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus while I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to false and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is agape, self-giving love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned or unfaked, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. More vain jangling. James 4. James chapter 4. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Lust just means wanting more than you have. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of this world or of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scriptures saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. All right. We got a few more, but this is a good place to stop. So this building, this tower, has a lot of more meaning than it appears on the surface. All right, take it, big guy.